We are blessed by proximity to the ocean in our region. It's good to remember from time to time that we could always live in Nebraska, and our ocean trips would take a lot more planning. When we visit the ocean, there's just so much to take in. But taking in cigarette smoke as part of the experience appears to be on its way out on Oregon's public beaches. But that's almost all the beachfront in Oregon. The Oregon Parks and Recreation Department is moving toward ending smoking on the beaches in the not-too-distant future. Richard Walkoski is with the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, Research and Rules Coordinator there, and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey. I am very pleased to join you and your listeners this morning.
Well, it's good to have you. This has been in the works for a while. Would you give us the genesis of this whole rulemaking process?
Yeah. I suppose you could say it started with a governor's executive order that was issued in late 2012 or 13, but it really isn't a direct relation to that executive order. That order asked us to look at smoking and the impacts on state park properties, and we did that. And as a result of that rulemaking effort, we adopted some rules that do restrict smoking. It doesn't all out prohibit it in state parks, but it restricts it. And that was adopted earlier this year. When we did that process, part of the process is public comment, which we're in right now for the Ocean Shores. But the comments in the parks were about 25% urging us to look at the Ocean Shore as well. So that's really what prompted us to continue the research. And a lot of people say, and you said it yourself, we're moving towards, it looks like it will be. And I guess I want to make sure people understand Oregon State Parks hasn't made up their mind, or they don't even really have a strong position that we need this rule. We want to investigate. We want to get comments from the people that use the Ocean Shore. And then we'll make a decision of which way we're going to go.
Yeah, you picked up on the fact that I deliberately fudged the language a little bit, moving toward, but not necessarily this is going to happen. And so it really is an open-ended question. It's not something that's been predetermined.
It absolutely is, and we try to stress that every time we talk to folks like you and your listeners or put anything out in print, although not everybody believes that, and I understand totally why. You know, we're government, so, you know, we must be moving towards the nanny state. That's another one I hear a lot.
I bet you do, yeah. Well, especially after this, with the discussion of smoking in state parks. So you say it's not a total ban in state parks, so help folks understand where things stand right now with smoking in state parks in Oregon.
Yes, so if you go to a state park, you're going to see signs now and be told by a ranger that most of the areas in the state park are smoke-free. But if you rent a campsite, you can smoke your cigarettes or tobacco products there. If you go into a safety rest area, which there's about two dozen of our day use areas that we have an agreement with the Department of Transportation to manage as a safety rest area, in other words, a pull-off stop for folks. And the rules are slightly different for those than our regular day use areas. You can still smoke there. And then anywhere in your vehicle or your camping unit, you can enjoy your cigarettes and tobacco products.
When you talk about the safety rest areas, though, some are managed by other entities in the state of Oregon. So is it uniform across all of those?
All safety rest areas allow smoking, yes.
Okay. And was there a long education period before going ahead and making the distinctions about where you could and could not smoke in state parks?
Well, we are currently in the education mode. You hear a lot about enforcement of these rules, but in state parks, we're blessed because our visitors are very willing to comply with most all of our rules. As long as you tell them what the rule is, and that's what we're doing this year in the state park properties with the smoking regulations. We're letting people know. We put some signs up, although we'll probably take some of those down. We don't really like a lot of signs in our parks as long as people know what's going on. And we're just contacting people and asking them. And from what I've heard so far, anytime a ranger walks up to somebody that's smoking in an area they shouldn't be and mentions to them that we now have a rule against it, they're putting the cigarette out.
So it's a mentioning. It's not a ticketing and won't be for a while yet, apparently.
No, and, you know, I would say even next year when we get into a little bit more stringent enforcement, our enforcement's very low-key in parks. That's, I think, one of the reasons people like us so much is we're not there to hand tickets out. We're there to get you to do what we're asking you to do. And most times all you have to do is talk to somebody and they'll do that.
We're talking to Richard Walkoski on the Jefferson Exchange. He is with the Oregon Department of Parks and Recreation, and we are talking about the proposal to extend smoking restrictions to Oregon beaches in addition to the smoking restrictions already in place in Oregon state parks. You can join us on the exchange with your questions or comments about smoking on beaches or suggestions. We can get a little public comment in here ahead of the official comments. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So when we do talk about restrictions on the beaches, I mean, first of all, are we talking about all? I mean, the public owns all the beaches in Oregon, so that's essentially not officially state parkland, but still public land, right?
That's correct, and there is a distinction there, and that's why this rule is slightly different than the rules we did in our state park properties, which we actually own. State Parks manages the ocean shore, all 360-370 miles of it, for the people of Oregon. It's really in ownership of the people of Oregon, not state parks. But we do manage it, and we take care of it, and we take that job very seriously. So essentially, if this rule goes in force, it would apply to the entire ocean shore, unless through the public comment period there's some modification that comes out that seems to make a lot of sense.
Would it likely have, I mean, when, granted, I know we're still early in the process, but I mean, are we looking at perhaps some of the same sorts of exemptions, like within campsites, within cars, things like that?
We can look at anything. It doesn't work quite as well on the ocean shore because, for one thing, there's not a lot of places you can take your car. There's great long stretches of ocean shore that people use, but vehicles don't. And the other thing about it is, if you say to somebody, you can smoke in your campsite, people pretty much know what a campsite is. If you say, you can smoke in the area that's 2 miles south of the boundary of the Nehalem Bay State Park, people don't really know what that means on a big open stretch of sandy beach.
All right. So, yeah, I can see some of the issues here. You can't really say, like, well, you can smoke between that rock if you're standing directly facing them on the beach. 15 feet to the right or left, and you're outside the area.
Yeah, we have a problem, and we actually, a couple years ago when we redid the ocean shore regulations, we used to have a regulation that said in front of a state park property, all the state park rules apply, which were slightly different than the ocean shore rules. That actually came out because it made no sense. People didn't know. As you're walking down a stretch of beach, you don't know when all of a sudden up above the dune there's a state park because you can't see it. So it's a problem. Not to say we wouldn't consider that if somebody has a great idea. Maybe there are certain beaches that are so unique that you know that you're there. But one of the problems with making exceptions in spots of the ocean shore, I think, is going to be the confusion factor. So, well, I saw somebody smoking when I went down and had my picnic on that beach. Why can't I smoke here?
You know, I noticed that the Oregonian had an editorial about this whole process earlier this week, and basically came down on the side of it's big and breezy. Who cares? So you already have some institutional ridicule going on of the whole process, which I'm sure you're going to hear from some smokers as well. It's like, come on, it's big and it's breezy. So what's the difference? I'm not going to get my smoke out there. I'm not going to leave my butts behind.
Well, if people didn't leave their cigarette butts behind, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation and we wouldn't be looking at this rule. We've had a litter law. That's the other thing that comes up frequently is, well, you already have littering laws. If you're concerned about cigarette butts on the beach, enforce the littering laws. I would put it to folks that that's probably no easier to enforce than a no smoking law. In fact, it's probably harder to enforce because it's difficult to find the exact moment when that smoker drops a cigarette butt on the beach. But the other thing is, I'm not sure people really consider dropping one little tiny cigarette butt as litter in the same sense as dropping a styrofoam cup or a wrapper from your hamburger. So it's problematic. The other thing is, while the governor certainly was looking at the effects of smoke and secondhand smoke on people, we're not probably as concerned about that. There is a lot of breeze at the coast, 20-mile-an-hour winds out of the northwest all summer long, and so that does give folks that are opposed to this some fuel for what are they thinking, this is crazy, but the cigarette butts don't blow away, they stay there.
They do indeed. Let's take some calls here. We have Scott in Talent on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Richard Walkowski from Oregon Parks and Recreation.
Hi. In my youth, about, I don't know, 20 years ago, I lived in Japan for a time. And the Japanese, at least at that time, were big smokers. And I remember being on a beach. And it was the most incredible thing, seeing a beautiful ocean beach covered with cigarette butts everywhere. That image kind of stays with me. But actually, the comment that I wanted to make was that, you know, I go to a lot of parks with my kids. We went to Central Point Water Park the other day, and there's signs everywhere: no smoking, no dogs. There's dogs running around everywhere. There's people sitting there smoking, and I just think that whether it's the culture out here, I'm from the Midwest, people don't seem to care about the rules, and they don't want to enforce them anywhere. If you go to Ashland, you see people smoking, you see dogs running around everywhere, and it seems to be the same anywhere. So I don't see what a ban on a beach is going to do, because there just doesn't seem to be any enforcement of it. Thank you.
All right, thanks for that, Scott. Appreciate it. Any thoughts, Richard?
Well, that's a very common concern people have, is how do you enforce it? The problem is you're making an assumption when you say, well, if you can't enforce it, it won't do anything. And that, I would argue, is not true, because simply by making the rule, you know, I mentioned earlier that most of our visitors in the parks, anyway, want to comply with our rules when we tell them what they are. So if you've got 1,000 people smoking on the beach, and you make a rule that says you can't smoke on the beach, and only 20% of them stop doing it voluntarily, you're still taking 200 people off of that beach that would drop cigarette butts. So the voluntary compliance is huge, and you don't see the people that comply. You only see the people that break the rule. So if you look at the freeway system, you see somebody going 80 miles an hour past you on the freeway, but you're not thinking about the thousands of people around you that are going the speed limit.
Here's another call from Ryan in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking smoking on beaches with Richard Walkowski at Oregon Parks and Recreation.
Well, good morning, Jeffrey. And I think this is an interesting conversation, because you're really getting at the difference between laws, rules, regulations, and education around culture. You know, I've been hearing some really interesting reports about, you know, the durability of cigarette butts. I always thought that they did decompose, and now I'm learning, you know, and it's kind of obvious, I suppose, that they sort of break up somehow. But I think that there's a really critically important distinction as we look at environmental issues, non-point source pollution, you know, these kinds of cultural shifts, that we really focus on education and regulation, and tickets are the, you know, the absolutely last resort. So anyway, that's just my comment.
All right, thanks for that, Ryan. Appreciate it. And Richard, it sounds like he's picked up on pretty much the scheme of things as it works with the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department.
Yes, and he did a nice job of sort of encapsulating where we're at on this. And there are many ways we could go besides making a rule. But the thing we will not do is back away and just say, well, we're going to ignore it for another 20 years and see if it gets better or worse.
Good point. There are a series of public hearings coming up in Seaside on the 20th of August, Newport on the 21st. Probably the closest one for most of our listeners is at the Coos Bay Public Library on the 26th. Okay. Yeah, the eyes aren't working that well these days. And then another one in Salem on the 28th. So what kinds of these are hearings and not public. I mean, they're not open houses. It's you actually give real testimony here.
Yes, we will take about a half an hour to sort of have a discussion before, because once we get into a formal hearing, I'm not allowed to answer questions or provide information. We just sort of take comments and record them and send them to the commission so that it can see what people are saying. But we'll do a little bit of a session to answer people's questions and help them understand what we're thinking, and they can have more of a discussion. So they're important. Even if you don't want to make a formal comment, we encourage you to come and have the discussion with us.
And was the same process used to make the smoking restrictions in other state parks?
Yes, it was. And the other thing I will tell you is, in the society we live in, people are very busy, and you're carving out a couple of hours by the time you drive down, stay for the hearing, drive home. So we often get low attendance at hearings, but we also encourage people to send us their thoughts through email or letters, and we'll accept those all the way up until the 29th of this month.
All right. It's a fairly long email address. I'll make sure we put that up on our Facebook page later in the day so people can see it, the public comments thing. And again, all these start at 7 o'clock. So for the folks who can get to Coos Bay, that's at 7 p.m. on the 26th of August at the Coos Bay Public Library on Anderson Avenue in Coos Bay. And then, so what's the process? I mean, once you've gotten the hearing out of the way, what are some of the other steps that have to go into effect before anything really takes place differently on the beaches?
Well, we're taking a little bit more time with this one because it is quite an interesting issue to discuss, and there are good points on all sides of the rulemaking issue. So we will go to our commission and talk to them about what we've heard, and the meeting that's coming up next will be September 17th in Silverton. So we'll have a report, we'll have all the comments, summaries, and we'll also have all of the comments that they can look at if they want. And some of our commissioners do read all 200-300 comments that come in and listen to the audio recordings of the public hearings. They take their job very seriously. So we'll have a discussion with them on the 17th of September, and then any action that will be taken, whatever direction we go, whether it's rulemaking or engaging in some sort of other education campaign, that action would be at the November 19th commission meeting, and that's on the coast in Astoria.
Right. So no changes just yet, but changes perhaps in the works with smoking on public beaches in Oregon. Richard Walkowski is a rules coordinator of the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Good to have you.